you all get to be my age, you might get lost just like I did just did. Oh, you know, my message. I just couldn't help but start thinking about my message 3 minutes before I need to start preaching it. And then I forget where I am in the song. Oh, I'll tell you. John, John, John. Allow me to read an article from today's bulletin for our devotional. By Pastor Todd Nybert on the inside middle page, if you'd like to read along with me. Three things regarding God's grace. Number one, grace is always sovereign. In Romans 9:18, we read this, therefore hath he mercy, on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Secondly, grace is always free. Romans 3:24, we read this, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. And third, grace is always saving. Ephesians 2:8, by grace are ye saved. God's grace is not an offer up for man's acceptance or rejection. His grace sovereignly, freely saves. We cannot believe grace without believing these three things regarding grace. You know, I'm thankful that the Lord didn't leave me to myself, as we brought out in the Sunday morning Bible study. I'm thankful the Lord did not leave me to myself, that he did not leave me to making my own decision. I'm glad the Lord made a decision for me, because I know in my heart that if I was left to my own, I would make the same exact decision that all of those people we talked about in Bible study, when they stood around the three crosses and they said, crucify him, that would have been John Reeves, if John Reeves would have been left to himself. Turn to the 10th chapter of Acts, if you would, please. And while you're turning there, allow me to read from Romans 3:11. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. That's the word of God. That's not me up here trying to tell you something true. It's the truth that God has said to his people. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. But he also says this in chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's kind of confusing, Pastor. We read in Romans 5:19, for as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. And then again in chapter 10, verse 14, we read this, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? I declare unto you this day that God has a chosen remnant out of every tribe. Somewhere in the United States today, Lord willing, one of his children, one of those chosen, one of those whose names were written before the world was ever made, is being called to him by the preaching of his gospel. Amen. He says, I have a remnant out of every tribe, every tongue, every nation, and they are to be witnesses of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are some pastors who have a great gift to write poems. Brother Mike Lovelace, he can write a poem, can't he? Boy, he surely can. Other men write books. Charles Spurgeon, Brother Don Fortner, Henry Mahan, several others. Others have a great, wonderful gift, and one of them will be here, as a matter of fact, for our conference, Norm Wells. God has given that man a wonderful gift to go into the Old Testament and see Christ on every page. I'm telling you, folks, don't miss out on the conference. You're missing out on a great blessing. Our Lord has four wonderful preachers, talented way more than this man who stands before you, who will be here to speak the gospel and preach Christ and Him crucified. I can't wait. I'm excited. I can't wait to be preached to. Pastor Gene used to say that all the time. We would bug him about, Pastor, you know, how come you don't preach one little message while the conference goes? He goes, man, I need to hear them. I don't get to hear them, but you know, twice a year. You get every Sunday, Friday night. I need it once or twice a year. And I'm excited. I can't wait to hear these men preach. Chosen witnesses. You see, that's what I do. Is I witness to those who God brings into this building the love and the grace that He has for His people. I know all the pastors do that. That's about all I can do. I can't go into the Old Testament. I don't have the knowledge that some of them have. Maybe someday the Lord will give me that. But for now, I just stand before you and I preach about God's grace. I'm a witness of grace. Chosen from before the foundation of the world, as we read in Ephesians 1:4, chosen to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit. That means being made holy, being made set apart by the Spirit and belief of the truth, as we read in 2 Thessalonians 2:13. Chosen to be vessels of mercy, formed by the potter, as we read in Romans 9:23. Are you with me in Acts chapter 10? Would you join me in reading verses 39 through 33? Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse 39. And we are witnesses. Now this is Peter, and he's speaking to Cornelius. Peter was sent to Cornelius, a centurion, a Roman centurion, a Gentile, to preach the gospel. And in those days, Jews had no relations, as far as religion was concerned, with anybody outside of the Jewish nation. And he's been sent to Cornelius to preach to Cornelius. And he says here in verse 39, and we are witnesses of all things which he, speaking of our Lord and Savior, did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they, the Jews, the righteous, the self-righteous religious Jews, they slew and hanged on a tree. For God raised up the third day, and showed him openly. Now this is important. Hear these words. He was shown openly. But listen to the next thing. It says, not to all the people. I want that to sink in. This is the grace of God, that you and I have heard the Word of God preached. This is the love of God that you and I have heard through the preaching of His Word, His grace and mercy to His people. Not all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead. And He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To Him give all the prophets witness, that through His name whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remissions of sins. Now I want you to mark your Bible there, if you would. Take a little piece of paper from the one of the envelopes or whatever, because we will come back to chapter 10. I know I'm a little quick sometimes in going back. I'll try to be a little more considerate this time for those of you who have electronic Bibles. Just as though that it is written about here that we just read, they were chosen to see the resurrected Christ. Not all, but all of God's people are chosen before of God to witness the things of Christ. Not with the eyes of the flesh as these did that we just read about, but with the eye of faith. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Folks, I'm telling you, if you see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face, you've either gone on to heaven or you need to talk to somebody about it. Our Lord does not reveal Himself in person as He did in the days of old. He reveals Himself in His Word. When Abraham was told by God, through the seed of his son, a great nation would arise, and through that nation, a Savior would come into this world, he believed God. That was what how he attained righteousness. He believed God. He had received the gift of faith, the very gift that each and every one of God's children have. Faith in what God said would come true. As I reminded Tim this morning down in Yakumba, our faith can be weak at times, but aren't you thankful that Christ Jesus, His faith was perfect always? It is in His faith we stand. Don't trust in anything you see of yourself. Don't trust your eyes especially. Don't trust your feelings. Don't trust the water that you got into for baptism. Don't trust the act of coming to the table. Trust in Jesus and in Jesus alone. He is our perfection. He is our righteousness. And when we come to understand that He is our all in all, we quit trying to do all that other stuff for the sake of salvation. We still come to the Lord's table, but not to save ourselves, not to prove that we're saved. We come to the Lord's table, in which we will at the end of this service, to remind ourselves of His mercy and grace for us. We get into this baptismal back here to declare unto all of those who may be witnesses of it that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. I have no confidence in this flesh that you see before you. It is my Savior that I stand in. Abraham's gift was exactly as yours and I's. It's a gift of God. Did he express great faith? Yes, he did for a moment, didn't he? When the Lord asked him to sacrifice his son, he was going to do it. Because God had made a promise to him. He had made a promise about this son being the head of a great nation. And that the Savior would come through him. He knew that by God's word he would keep his word. Just as you and I know, God keeps his word. All of those whose names are written in the book of life before a star ever twinkled in the sky will receive that very same gift. The gift to believe God's word. We read this in Bible study, but I'm going to read it again for you in Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. In the beginning was the Word. This is the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how God speaks to His people. Isn't it amazing that God uses sinful men to speak to sinners about the one who saves men from sin? Oh. This Jesus, this one who is God in the flesh, has shown and is still showing God all of his chosen blood-bought children the things of himself. And he's doing it throughout his word. He expounds the things of himself to you and I, just as he did with the two men on the road to Emmaus. What did he do? He began at Genesis, the books of Moses, and throughout all the prophets, and expounded, taught, brought out the wonders of himself in them. Now turn over to Mark chapter 8 if you would. With the eye of faith, in other words, believing God's word, we are a witness to the fact that Christ is God in the flesh. Here in Mark, did I skip a page here? No, I didn't. Here in Mark, we see God feeding about 4,000 souls in a way that only God could do. In Mark chapter 8, beginning at verse 1, in those days the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. If I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from afar. And his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, seven. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the seven loaves, and he gave thanks, and he brake, and gave it to his disciples, and set it before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets, and they had that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. But then we see another miracle in verse 22. Look over at verse 22 of this very same chapter. And he cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and he led him out of the town. And when they had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked him if he saw aught. And he, the blind man, looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. And after that he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and he saw every man clearly. And he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go thee into the town, nor tell it to any in the town. Now if you would go back to our text in chapter 10 of the book of Acts. These and many, many more miracles were done by our Lord and Savior. He said to those unbelieving Jews, you believe not, even though I had performed all these miracles as proof, even though I had clearly declared to you that I and my Father are one, you believe not because you were not my sheep. He was proved himself as God in the flesh, for no mere man could do these miracles. Not then and not now. These guys on TV, they're nothing but a sham. Aren't you thankful that we know that? Are we smarter than the people that are around us in the world? I would say we're blessed, but we're not smarter. And you and I know that there's a lot of people who believe the stuff that they see on TV. Aren't you thankful? It is only by God's grace that we don't stand right there with any other religion that is out there. No mere man could do these miracles, not then and not now. Do we not also read that he, Christ, thought it not robbery to be equal with God in Philippians 2:6. Folks, there is only one God. And He is a jealous God, and He will not share His glory with another. Yet there are three distinct persons: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. A mystery, yes, but the truth all the same. There are many mysteries about God that I cannot understand, and that I would not even think there's any possibility for me to understand until I stand with Him in heaven. Throughout Scripture, we see, we witness the truths of God, and we believe. God the Father choosing His people. Look at verses 41 in Israel. This is a picture, and we believe God. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead. We believe God's truths, that God the Son redeemed His people. Look at verse 39. And we are witnesses of all the things which He hath done in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. We believe the truths of God, that God the Spirit calls His people. Look at verses 43 and 44. To Him give all the prophets witness, that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. The whole house of Cornelius, the whole house of Cornelius had the Holy Ghost fall upon them when the Lord of Jesus Christ was preached unto them. I know that there are those who might say, I've misused the word witness here. You don't see the word witness right there, do we? Other than where to all the prophets gave witness. And there will be those who say that I've taken the word out of context. And they could say witness is a first-hand experience. And to a small degree, that is true. You see, if all of you have is the knowledge of these events spoken of in Scripture, then you've missed the whole boat. The Pope of the Catholic Church knows more about Scriptures. He spends his whole life memorizing them, and a whole lot of other junk with it. But he knows the Scriptures. There's a lot of men out there in today's world preaching the word who know Scriptures way better than any of God's preachers do. But to know what the Scripture says is not to experience it. And to experience it is to witness it. My message today is witnesses of grace. Are you a witness of grace? Has God been gracious to you as He has been to me, as He is to all of His children? Allow me, if you will, to share some first-hand events that I have witnessed. And I pray that my Lord may give you a witness in the same manner. I am a witness. I can tell you for a fact, there was a day when I walked in darkness. How do I know? Because I know I was blind. I see the blue sky now before me. I see the light of Jesus, the light of the world, the truth of who He is, what He's done, where He is now. I'm a witness that my heart was as black as anyone else who has ever walked this earth. I am a witness that my desires were all as one who has walked this earth, worldly desires. I'm a witness that I was blind, and now that I can see spiritual things in the Word of God, spiritual truths. I'm a witness that I had no ears to hear the wonderful truths of the gospel. I tell you, and from experience, that I was not seeking the things of God until He came seeking me. I tell you from experience that there was a time when it was all about me, but now for some reason, because of God's love, because of His mercy and grace to me, I walk around and that's because of God. Look at the wonderful beauty that God had created in the ice fields of Canada. Did you know God made a rock so big that standing at the bottom of it, you can't help but look up and go, wow. Down here in a place called Yosemite, where God made a lake so clear you can stand above it and see 30 feet deep. Or that God, in His grace and mercy, saved a poor sinner. I'm a witness that in the day of His power, trouble came into my life and brought me on my knees to a place where I would hear the gospel. I'm a witness that as it was according to His will, not mine, that I saw my need of a Savior. I saw the man before you for the first time a true sinner. I'm a witness before you that under the sound of His gospel I heard grace. I'm a witness of grace. A man passed away a couple weeks back that I had a little opportunity to spend talking to him on the phone. His name is Kelly Crowell. And when I spoke with him, we thought he was on the mend. Not once in all of those conversations that I had with this man did he say anything about himself. He witnessed grace in every word that he spoke. And then the Lord took him. He witnessed grace. Oh, how I needed to hear this man's witness. I have witnessed that the Lord passed by John Reeves and He said, John, live. Yet it is not I that live, but Christ that live in me. Christ dwells in the hearts of His church. His called out people. Christ came to me not in the person, but by the way of the Holy Spirit, and He cut away that old stony heart. In 2 Corinthians, we read it this way, chapter 4, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Did you catch that? The glory goes to our Lord. We are witnesses of His grace to us. Just as He had brought a great famine upon Israel, so that Naomi and her husband and sons would flee the land of Bethlehem, God brought that famine on Israel. And they flew down to Moab where they worshipped idols. And then the Lord took her husband and her two sons who had married from Moabitess women. Gentile women, so that Naomi would return to the people of Israel when she heard that the food had returned, and she would bring her daughter-in-law back to Israel to become the wife of Boaz, one who could and did redeem her. Just as the Lord did that, He caused certain things to happen in our lives, so that we would cross paths with one of His chosen preachers and meet our Redeemer. Just as the blind man we read about in Mark could see dimly after the first touch of Christ, so could we. But as time went along, God began to reveal Himself more and more and more. This is what I like about coming to church, is every time I come, the Lord reveals Himself a little bit more. The day's going to come when all the earth around us is going to burn up, and we will stand before God and see Him clearly as He is. Do we not read in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, "So then faith cometh, belief comes, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Salvation is of the Lord, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." And as Peter answered to the question, "Who do you say that I am?" he said, "You are the Son of the living God. I have witnessed the healing power of God firsthand." King David wrote it this way in Psalms 51, "My sins are ever before me." And then Paul wrote this in Romans 7, "Oh, wretched man that I am, I too, as those two men, can see my sin in my flesh." As I told Tim this morning, our faith will never be any better than it is because it's of the flesh. I know what I deserve, the wrath of God, for in my flesh there is no good thing, yet God delights in mercy. He delights in having mercy on whom He will, and whom he will He hardeneth. We all know the words of Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 6. "We all walked according to the prince of this world, as children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us." But God, or in other words, because of Him, we see He who came into this world to establish a perfect righteousness for us. Because of Him, we see who He was made, He who was made to be sin for us. Because of who He is, we see Him who willingly laid down His life on the tree as our substitute. Because of Him, we see Him who was raised again for our justification. Because of Him, we see Him who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us even when we were dead in sins, and hath quickened us together with Christ. I have witnessed firsthand the saving power of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus. Turn over to John chapter 15, if you would, please. John chapter 15. "Even though I have seen the grace of God with my own eyes that were once blind, even though I have heard with ears, new ears given to me by the Lord Jesus, even though I have heard with ears of the heart, a new heart that God has given me, oh, how I am prone to wonder. Oh, how easy it is for me to take my eyes off of my Savior. Yet the Lord has sent a Comforter, the Comforter, to keep us through our times of trials." Are you with me in John chapter 15? Read with me, if you would, verses 1 through 5. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it." In other words, He prunes it. Can kind of like roses. You know, you got to take that withery rose and clip it off there, Kathy told me, so that this other rose that's about to bud over here will get more water to it. Kind of like that. He purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye children of God, these ones who he prays for, these ones who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, and as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except for it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. For I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Now look over at verse 26, if you would. Same chapter, John 15, verse 26. And our Lord gives us these words. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify. That means to be witness. That means to tell about. He shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. How often have I told you, you are children chosen in the Son before the world was? From the beginning, folks. And again I say, all things were created for us to be witnesses of his Son, to be witnesses of his grace. The Comforter keeps us by reminding us of the things of Christ. He shall testify of me, our Lord says. I have witnessed the keeping power of God, the Holy Spirit. In Romans 10, verses 13, we read it this way, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Folks, it's a matter of the heart. God must come by the preaching of his word and remove the old stony heart and give a new heart. A heart made willing. A heart that loves the Lord and his word. A heart that believes. Isn't that what we read in John 3:16? Isn't that the truth behind that verse? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Isn't that what that verse really says? Saul of Tarsus was going about doing what seemed right in his own unregenerate heart. And then on a certain road at the appointed time, the Lord blinded him with the light of his glory, the light of Jesus Christ, the Lord. A glory that was so bright that it had blinded him for 3 days. Look with me back at Acts chapter 9 this time, if you would. And I'll bring this to a close. Acts chapter 9. Let's look at the conversion of Paul. You know, Paul's set as an example of all of God's people. So is Lazarus. So is the man with leprosy. So is the man with palsy that we read about in Friday night's Bible study. So is this man who was so religious that he was going about persecuting the true children of God for believing in a Jesus rather than following their works. Verse 1, chapter 9, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord went unto the high priest and desired unto him letters to Damascus to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, any of those who preached Christ, any of those who were following Christ, If he had found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he, Saul, said unto him, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. He was blind, he could see nothing. For they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, Lord, I am here. I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas of one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard of many of this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath an authority of the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto Ananias, giving him comfort, listen to these words, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel, a chosen witness unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Witnesses of grace. From that time on, Paul preached Christ and him crucified. I wish to know nothing of you save Christ and him crucified. The Apostle Paul declares himself to be an example to all who believe. We are chosen vessels, formed by the potter to be vessels of honor by his grace. We were ordained, predetermined to be witnesses of his grace. And by his grace, we have experienced his grace. Is that too much grace for you? I love grace because I know that I don't deserve it. And I know that I can't earn it. And I know that the works that I do have nothing to do with God's grace. God's grace to me is because of his love for me. Go into the world, I ask of you, as the four men who took that poor man with palsy to where Jesus was. And they were not hindered by the fact that they couldn't get close to Jesus because of all the people that were surrounded about him. Folks, there's not all that many people surrounded about this church to keep us from bringing good folks to hear Christ. Bring our friends to Christ. And I'm saying this to me. I desire to be more boisterous in bringing my friends to the Lord. But yet I am what I am. What is your desire? Do you have a desire to be witnesses of his grace? The grace that he had to you? Are we like the man who got up after leprosy and ran into the streets showing everybody how great I am, how great the Lord, great things the Lord hath done for me. Not great that I am. I said that the wrong way. You understand. You know what I mean. We're witnesses of grace. By the way we walk in this world, grace that we is by God's grace that we point everything to Him. My son's riding in the car with me. We're stopping at every light. Ah, oh, man, Dad, your luck is bad today. No, son. That's my Lord protecting me from something up ahead. Or that's my Lord putting me right where He wants me to be in something up ahead. Either way, it's all of Him. And it's by His grace that I'm able to say that to my son. How about you folks? Are you witnesses of grace? Will you stand with me, please?